I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things.
Spooky things.
But we really, really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
What did I do this week?
What did any of us do this week?
I got some clothes out, clothes that I've been saving, and so I have my spooky,
yes,
spooky shirt.
We'll wear it at the same time because I have that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready for spooky season.
I'm never ready for summer to end. I am so ready for summer to end.
I'm fucking over it.
It's too hot.
It was so nice last
summer
week
used to be my favorite
it was
season.
Like 70 degrees. I was like, ooh, it's crisp out
you,
here.
You, me, and Katie were talking about it. We're like, it's so lovely.
We're like, spooky season's happening.
I almost felt a chill.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, like, I kind of have my spooky stuff out. Like, I'm just going for it.
I did it really early one year. Like, I did it the year Keith went for his bachelor party, and it was too soon to the point where, like, when Halloween came, I was like, all right.
You were over it.
Yeah, so...
I'm not gonna be over September. It. I just love it. Also, speaking of spooky stuff, we have to shout this blanket out. Corey got it for me, and it's
the cutest thing in the world.
It's so soft, and it's like little ghosties.
I tried to go find one, and they didn't have it. So
cute.
It's adorable.
It's adorbs. We love it.
We have it on our
laps. Thanks, Corey. I don't think she listens, but
hey, Corey,
we did shout you out.
We did. So sorry.
Also, shout out to Jared for sending me an email. I don't know who you are.
I love. Oh,
thank you for reaching out.
We love Jared, but I was like telling him how sometimes I'm like Danae.
Yeah, I read it like that. I was like Danae.
I love hearing that.
Is he your coworker? Who
yes.
is he? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jared. Jared's like one of my favorite people.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I was laughing so hard when I saw that. I was like, I'm not even gonna say anything because I told him, I was like, Danae might message me like, who is this? So.
Well, I said hello back. I should have been like, do you have a recommendation?
Like, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Well, he usually sits at the desk, like, we don't see each other's faces.
Oh, okay.
But we talk, like, throughout, like, when he's there, so.
Nice.
But, yeah, thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Jared. Jerbear.
Jerbear.
Sorry, I'm calling you that. I don't know you.
He's fine. He'd love it.
Okay. Whatever.
I tell him he's a brick shit house and he loves that.
A brick shit house?
Yeah, he's, like, stacked.
Oh.
Like,
I've never heard that expression.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Good to know. What did you do?
I went and saw The Odyssey.
I heard it was good.
Oh my God, it's one of the best movies I've seen in the last, like, few years.
Really?
Yeah, I loved every minute of it.
Oh shit, okay.
And it was so good. And also, like, what I liked about it was, I was like, they have to use CGI for it. Duh. But the CGI didn't look like.
It didn't look, like, obvious.
It didn't look like Jurassic Park. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know the Jurassic Park where it looks really bad? I'm adjusting my microphone. But, yeah, no, it was incredible. Eric went with us. Me, Keith, and Eric went.
Oh, yeah, he said he had a great time.
Oh, my God, it was so good.
And he was, like, obsessed with the movie.
Yeah. There was one part, spoiler alert, where, like, something happens with a dog at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And we were all crying but not talking about it. And then Eric's
like, crying, you're crying.
Eric's like, yeah, I got a little teary-eyed at that. And I was like, oh, I did too. And Keith's like, yeah, same.
He's like, yeah,
man, like, shut up.
I'm not crying.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to spoil it. Just, I hate people who, like, were trying to spoil it. And I was like, yeah. But it was, I think you should go see it.
Okay.
I think you would actually enjoy it. I don't usually enjoy, like...
Go to the movies.
Go to the movies.
I haven't been to a movie since I went with you.
Really?
To see Scream.
And you know what?
Scream.
We're going to see Scream every single time they come out with
what
a new one.
What was it, like 8?
7?
Scream 17.
We're going to see it. I don't even care.
I was just stoked that Matthew Lillard was in it. I was like, oh my God.
I think we all were like, you know.
Finally, someone good. What did you do?
This week, I'm trying to pull up my notes.
I thought you were going to like show me a picture of something you did.
Oh, no. No. I can show you pictures. Here, I'll show you a really cute picture. We'll put it on the gram. Oh my God.
Aw, Roogie Roogs.
Roogie is cuddling with a blue healer that looks like him, the stuffed animal. I thought it was so cute. Oh, that is I was like, please don't move. Please don't move.
Gotta be quick.
We do, because he's like, oh, I was being cute.
Better stop that.
Not going to be in that cute later. So I'm going to tell you the murder of...
Wait, what did you do?
Oh, I went and saw Odyssey. Sorry. It's like...
Da, 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 da. It's fine. My brain is just stupid.
No, you're fine.
It's totally fine.
Totally fine. I'm 0% mad.
Okay, thanks.
I'm 5% mad. Now I'm 10%.
Now I'm getting madder as we talk about it.
We're actually pissed off.
We're fighting.
I have to leave because of the anger in my heart.
The anger. It's swelling
in my heart. But I'm going to tell you the murder of Lauren Giddings.
Okay. It doesn't sound familiar, so.
You will know this, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be a whodunit. Oh. Oh, you're not going to know till the end. You're going to be like, oh, my God. Yeah, but, well, at one point you might. I don't remember how I did my notes. Be like, louder than that.
Okay.
You might scream.
I might scream.
You might scream.
Okay, scare everyone in the house.
All right. She was born April 18th, 1984. She was the oldest of three girls. So she had two sisters. She was so sweet and fun. She wanted her job to be helpful to other people. She was raised in Maryland, but she felt like her heart was just in the South. So she went to Georgia. So okay. She was one of the first people in her family to go to school. And she graduated college in 2006. And she got a political science degree. And she decided she wanted to be a lawyer. She was the living, breathing embodiment of Elle Woods. Because she was so cute, blonde, okay. And just like, I don't know, you look at pictures of her, you know when you can see that somebody's really fun?
Yeah.
That was her. I was like, oh, she probably said so many hilarious jokes that were like not okay, but funny. So, she had moved to Georgia and... She wanted to stay there, so she started law school in 2008. She was motivated into law because of Nancy Grace.
Oh, my God. I love her.
I love that Nancy Grace hates Casey Anthony. We would 1,000%.
She fucking hates Casey Anthony. And honestly, I agree.
I love her for that.
Yeah. Like, couldn't agree with you more, Nancy. Like,
and she keeps trying... Casey Anthony keeps trying to go back to TikTok, and we're like...
No one wants to hear from you.
You're
child murderer.
Also, you're in the justice system because you were in jail. Like, what are you even talking about?
I hate her so much.
And she's like, I stand for LGBTQ rights. And I saw videos and people are like, I don't want you to represent me.
Get out of here with that.
I prefer you be homophobic than that.
She's the worst.
Yeah. So that's who I think of Nancy Grace. I always think of Casey Anthony and how much she hated her. So... As I mentioned before, she wanted to be really helpful to people, so she looked into being a public defender.
Because she's the eldest daughter.
Yes. So, fun little fact, I was a criminal justice major for one semester.
One semester. I took one law class and hated it.
I loved every minute of it. I'll tell you why I didn't continue it.
Okay.
So, we actually had a public defender come to our class to talk to us about, like, being a public defender. And it sounded great, but she was like, you have to do it because you want to. It's not something where you make a lot of money. She's like, so paying off student loans. And I was just like, that sounds...
You're like, get me out of here.
Yeah, that sounds rough because you still have to like pass the bar. I want to be a
wretch.
Yeah, I want to be a wretch. If I'm going to be a lawyer, if I'm going to have to deal with
I better be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, not sorry. We also talked to a youth parole or probation officer, and I actually loved that.
Okay.
Because one lady was like...
Like, you wanted to do that?
It actually sounded really cool. Okay. Because one of the kids, she would tell the kids, she's like, if you're trying to get out of a situation, just say I'm the mean one. She's like, and you can call me and I'll pretend to yell at you. But if you're open and upfront about being in an unsafe situation, if you call me, you won't be in trouble, but I'll pretend to be really mad at you and stuff. And she like told stories where people were like, I'm in a high risk situation. And she would be like, put me on speaker. And they're like, okay. And she's like, you need to get home now or I will come arrest you.
Aww.
And I, yeah, that was one that I was like, okay. But yeah. And then I realized to get into anything higher up, you need to actually get an additional like degree or you're a police officer. And that's why I said, and for that reason,
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm like, where's my thumb? Anyways. So I think it's amazing she wanted to do that. That's actually so, that's truly helping people because a lot of people.
So millennial, elder sister coded.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Who knows? Elder sister. I'm the younger sister. I can be irresponsible.
You're like, I'm just fun.
I'm just here for fun, okay? I love my elder millennial sister who's. Like, I'm not a millennial technically. I'm like, no, you are technically a millennial.
She's an elder millennial, yeah, isn't she?
Yes. She's like the first generation.
Yeah, Steven's an elder millennial too.
Yeah, so like, get over it. You're fine.
You don't want to be, well, I guess Gen X is cool.
Gen X is cool.
I was
going
to say, you don't want to be a boomer, but
they haven't started beef with anyone. And I, for that, I love them.
Good for them.
Yeah. So. Anyways, but just wanted to say she was going to be a public defender, and that's like amazingly helpful.
Okay.
So, she ended up going to Mercer University School of Law in 2008. And this was also a medical school, too. So it was like a lot of richy riches were walking around, I'm sure.
Okay.
And she graduated in 2011. She was 27.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind. She was 27.
Yeah. Get it, girl.
Yeah, I got it. Mercer was located in Macon, Georgia, or Macon. Macon. Okay. And it was described as like a small town feel. Like people would be like, you go into a restaurant, you'd know people. So it was just really safe too. So not only was it small town feel, but it was like safe. So it was just like shocking things like were murder. Like that was not a thing that was,
happened.
Yeah. And when you graduate law school, the obvious next step is the bar exam, which is one of the hardest exams to pass next to the CPA exam. I just remember somebody telling me you actually didn't need to, didn't she say you didn't need an education to get, like, to pass the CPA exam? I don't know. I was talking to somebody.
I mean, you could also, like, potentially, like, not have a degree in law and attempt to take the bar, but, like, I'm sure it's helpful.
I don't remember what somebody said, but, like, she said something super wrong about the CPA exam. I was like, that's not true, but okay. And the bar exam can cost anywhere between $500 to $1,500. And I actually wanted to look this up because I was I know it's – this isn't an exam you're like, oh, gosh,
just
I failed.
Just willy-nilly taking it.
Yeah, this isn't something
unless
you can
you're
just,
Kim Kardashian. Just fail it every time.
Ooh, oh, my God. I just hit the mic with my foot.
Oh, my God. I saw this thing that was like
– at least you can't pay yourself into passing the bar exam.
That has- There's that. But there was like – I guess I saw some headline that was like – New Mexico is not requiring lawyers to pass the bar exam. And they had a picture of Kim Kardashian next to it. I was like, that's kind of fucked up. You just put her. The story has nothing to do with her, but like, but they're like, here's a person who can't pass the bar.
Even if you
potentially could be a lawyer in New Mexico.
Even if you didn't bring up Kim Kardashian, that's immediately who I would have thought of.
It was funny.
You know what, Kim? Keep trying.
You know,
I'm actually kind of rooting for her a little bit. Only because she's not going to use it, probably. Oh, God. I'm not rooting for her. Never mind.
Anyways.
But she should move to New Mexico. But yeah, like I said, it's an expensive exam. This isn't one you want to just keep taking over and over again.
Yeah.
I had a high school friend. He passed it the first time. He was incredibly...
That's impressive.
Yeah. He was incredibly smart, though. Wow, like, I was like, oh, if anyone's going to be a lawyer, it's him.
Yeah, okay.
You know who you are.
Guy.
Luke. Anyways, so she had graduated. She had told many people that she was going to be buried in books because she needed to make sure she passed.
Yeah.
Which is so incredibly normal. Like, people are just, if you're actually going to take it seriously, you're going to be studying at all
times. You're going to be studying your ass off.
Yeah. So she did tell people, if I'm not super communicative, it's not because it's not
personal.
It's not anything to do with you. It's me trying to pass this exam and do well.
Okay.
And, you know, she still had to eat and sleep. So.
Sure.
It's not like she doesn't have the ability to have a little time to herself. And she does need to take breaks. Because let's be so for real.
You kind of got to let yourself rest a little bit.
I was one of those people where I would study for 10 minutes and then I'd take a break for 2 hours.
I think that's called ADD.
10 minutes, 2 hours.
It equals out.
I didn't do well sometimes. Anyways, so on June 29th, 2011, Caitlin, one of Lauren's sisters, was trying to get in communication with her. And even though she was studying and she said she wasn't going to be communicative, she still would at least pick up her phone. And sorry, that word is really hard to say.
Communicative?
Yeah. It's a hard one.
There's a lot of cuss in there.
I just want to not keep saying it, but it's like, there's so many times in my notes I say it. Anyways, but she just wasn't answering her phone. Her sister's like, I know she's studying, but like.
But now it's getting weird.
It's weirding me out. And so she got a little bit worried and she ended up calling their mom and she's like, have you heard from Lauren?
Mm.
And her mom's like, no. And then she called one of Lauren's best friends, Ashley. And she was like, have you heard from Lauren? And Ashley's like, no. So Ashley hadn't heard from Lauren, but like we mentioned before, she was like, well, she's studying for the exam. So,
but her sister had like a weird feeling.
Yeah. And I think family does get that weird feeling. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But she was like, I'm not as worried. She's like, but I live really close to her. I'm going to go see what's going on. Yeah. And, she just wanted to make sure everything was on the up and up. Ashley brought her boyfriend with her. His name is Paxton. And again, not as concerned as Caitlin because she knew she was studying. And Caitlin let them know where the spare key was so she could get in because she knocked on the door and she's like, well, she's not answering. And Caitlin was like, well, the spare key is wherever it was. They had these little patio areas, so she had a key like under the planter on the patio, which... that's where people are going to look first.
Yeah, but like...
I don't know. I'm just like...
it's pretty common. I don't know.
Well,
this is why we have those like little dials now where you can put your code in.
Well, remember I beat you guys and you're like, here's our code to our house. Yeah. And then I was playing fetch with your dogs. Anyway, so she used the spare key to open up the door. And when they got into her apartment, her purse was there. Her phone was there. Her keys were there. But she was not. She let Caitlin know that Lauren's not there, and it just feels really eerie.
Yeah.
Especially since stuff that she would take with her, like, wasn't, like, was there.
You would, like, need your car keys.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, we should call 911. We haven't heard from her for a few days. And as she calls 911, she also calls classmates to see if anyone had, like, talked to her. Because they were also studying, too. Yeah. So they're, like, maybe, like, in passing like or something.
Group or something.
Yeah, exactly. So they talk to a police officer. He's like, you know, this happens all the time. People go missing and we find them within 24 hours. So he wasn't as concerned. He's like, yeah, we'll see her, you know. And he goes over with them to do another wellness check. And Ashley and her boyfriend go in with him, which I thought was kind of strange, but whatever. And he also is like, well, usually when people go missing, they have their stuff with them.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. So I do like that he like went over right away. He wasn't just like, well, let me know when
she shows up.
Yeah, let me know when she shows up. So they jump right into action. And that night they end up doing a search party for her. And so Paxton, Ashley's boyfriend, and Alex, Lauren's ex-boyfriend, live together. Okay. So I just want to, like, kind of make that a little bit known because Lauren's ex-boyfriend, Alex, comes and a next-door neighbor named Steven, who had also graduated with her and lived next door to her for 3 years to help them.
Oh.
So, like, there's four of them and they're just like, you know what? Let's break up and, like, go see if we see her because everyone was really worried.
Okay.
So very logical place they ended up checking for her was at the library, as you would.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that makes so much sense. And you go to the library to get more information. They didn't find her there. So on June 30th, the following day, and this is 5 days since anyone had heard from Lauren. Yeah. The next day, they put a detective on the case, and he ends up driving to Lauren's apartment, and the search party were still at her place. They were wanting to be as helpful as they could. Like, understandably so. Yeah. And another part of the story that is a little bit weird and also added an extra layer of worry was she was supposed to be moved out of the apartment because she wasn't a student anymore. And this was, like, student housing.
Oh.
And it was just said in the interview, they're like, oh, so she was supposed to be moved out that day. And it was like, ooh.
Huh.
And and how stressful is that? You're supposed to be studying for the bar exam. You're also supposed to be moving.
Ugh, moving is the most stressful thing ever. I hate moving.
Yeah. And then you're like about to do the biggest exam of your life. I was like, poor Lauren. Yeah, like that had to have been so stressful. But, and it wasn't like a short move. She was moving to South Carolina to be with her boyfriend.
Oh.
But if you walked into the apartment, nothing was packed. Nothing was packed. There weren't boxes. There was nothing.
She doesn't seem like the type that would be like last minute willy-nilly like, oh, now I'm packing.
Exactly.
Like she's a very like
yeah
smart person.
You don't go to law school and you're just like.
Seems pretty organized. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they just said it looked like she wasn't even going anywhere. And the detective at that point was like, she's been met with foul play. Like
this is
this is too weird
to be.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So it sounds like they've been taking this pretty seriously, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate because like detectives are going over there, police officers. They're not doing the whole like, let us know when she's gone for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was like it's not a thing anymore, but it used to be a thing. And yeah. I thought it was like a fake thing. It was not actually a fake thing. So that's when they took it a little bit more seriously and decided they needed to talk to people and figure out what was going on. So it was during this time when the officers were standing around figuring out what to do next that a strange odor was picking up from the trash cans.
No.
On the side of the building.
Oh, no.
They knew that what that smell was. I guess when you're a police officer, yeah. detective, you know that smell. They had found a torso in the trash, missing all limbs.
Oh, my God. And the head?
No, just the torso. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, God. And I watched an interview with, like, all the people that were involved, which is always so helpful. And they, you know, we're like, well, we have to do tests, but this was not a good sign.
No.
This was not a good sign.
No.
And I don't know, this part kind of made my stomach churn. There was like still shorts on it. Like pink shorts.
Oh, no.
Which I'm like, oh, my not God. Good. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they had said that they knew dismembering a body was not a clean process at all. And they had gone into her bathroom and had a feeling that's probably where that had taken place.
Like, where else would it take place?
Yeah, but, like, they didn't even... It could have been anywhere else, yeah. But they're like, since she's missing. And they used luminol all over the bathroom, and it lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. So they figured this had to have been somebody that knew Lauren because it didn't seem like there was any struggle at all.
Yeah, and, like, seems pretty personal to chop someone up.
Yeah. And it's just a normal person studying really hard routine. You know, there was like fast food there, just trash, you know. It just looked like she hadn't left very much.
Yeah.
But it was just unsettling.
Oh, wow.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
So they ended up searching her car and it showed that there was a receipt from a fast food place that was on June 28th at 6 something p.m.
Okay.
And they were wondering if this was by chance the last meal she had had. And also it was kind of weird because they said on the 30th she hadn't really talked to anyone for 5 days. So I was like, that's weird too. So
she was probably studying up until that point and then her sister got the weird feeling like literally the day after something happened.
Yeah.
Or perhaps the day that something was happening.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if like maybe 5 days was, I don't know. But either way, I was just like, ooh. So yeah, they found a receipt and they're like, was this the last meal she had had? So Lauren's family was planning to go to Georgia to join in the search for her. And one of her other sisters had seen on the news that a torso was found.
That's how she found out?
In Georgia. They started crying because they all had that feeling. It was like...
Yeah.
That
the knowing.
The knowing.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They were just like, that has to be her. So immediately her father drives 11 hours to identify the body. Cause
just from a torso?
I guarantee he's like, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, my God. Because wouldn't you want to also get down there just in general?
No, for sure.
Yeah, so he just drives down.
How do you, like, identify a torso? Like,
I didn't really understand that part either. Like, I mean... If she had tattoos, like, that's how I would probably be identified. Do you have tattoos on your torso?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, so.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
We got tattoos, guys. We're badasses. So, it was at this time that they brought Ashley and her boyfriend, Paxton, and Lauren's neighbor, Stephen, in for questioning. Because they were people that they made close sense. To her. Yeah. And Stephen lived next door to her.
Yeah, so. Like, did you hear someone being chopped up?
So they questioned Stephen first, and they asked him about Lauren, and he said in reality they were only passing friends. They weren't, like, close friends, but they had asked him if he heard anything, and he said, not really, but, like, maybe I did. Like, he didn't have anything concrete, but he also was like, I don't really know what Yeah, which I don't really pay attention to. And when I lived in an apartment, I didn't really pay attention.
There were sounds all the time, and you just kind of get used to it.
Yeah. And he was like, I know Lauren likes to jog, so maybe something had happened to her when she was out jogging, which makes sense. Then they questioned Ashley, who had said that she had hung out with Lauren in the previous weekend, and her boyfriend was there, and his roommate and Lauren's ex-boyfriend, Alex, who helped them search. And they went back to Alex and Paxton's place, and Ashley just went to bed. She was like, yeah, we went back to the place, and I just kind of went to bed, which... Yeah. You know, sometimes you do that. You're like, I am tired. And she asked Alex about Ashley. So they asked, sorry, I'm like, my notes are weird. They asked Alex about, like, what happened with Lauren. He's like, oh, she basically, like, went home, pretty much. Like, party ended, she went home.
Okay.
And nothing happened. So the detectives found that very interesting because, you know, Alex was Lauren's ex-boyfriend. But Ashley had told them that Lauren had a new boyfriend.
Yeah, she's like moving to South Carolina for this new guy.
Yeah.
So it must be serious.
Well, his name was John Chapleton, and he was 48 years old, and he was living in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, Charleston. Oh, my God.
48. She's 27.
The city of Peter Pan's.
I mentioned something Peter Pan in this. Don't even worry about it.
He's a Peter Pan rich man from Charleston.
So the detectives asked Ashley if she knew about any issues between John and Alex, because Alex was the ex-boyfriend. He's still in contact. And, like, John, so he was wondering, like,
is Alex jealous?
Yes.
Is there some weird...
Yes. And if there was a possible love triangle that could be the reason that Lauren had gone missing. Unsurprisingly, the cops wanted to talk to Alex and John. Like that. Yeah. So the detectives were going through the area of her apartment to see if they could find weapons or anything. And they were even doing it with the owner of the apartment complex.
Okay.
And they were just like, we just want to look around and everything.
Yeah. Cause like, what are you using to chop up a body?
Yeah. And they were like going back buildings, and they went into the maintenance shed.
Oh, God.
And there was like a lot of saws in there. And by saw, like, there was, like, two. There might have been only one.
I mean,
but they were like
shed.
But, like, there's saws in there. They're like, well, that's interesting. So a technician comes in, and he looks at the saws and finds out that there's human tissue on one of these saws.
Oh, no.
Can we just say they're being so ridiculously thorough? And I, like...
Well, good.
I love how thorough they're being.
That's how, like, you're supposed to do it.
And they asked her who had direct access, and she was so nonchalant that they're like, immediately she's cleared.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. I think I like remember this story now that you're saying this stuff.
This isn't even the part that I think is going to like, but there was a guy that was also a law student, but he was also he was kind of the maintenance guy, so he could get a like deal on rent. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we want to talk to him. Don't look at me like that. Just kidding. So his name was Peter Wilsh, and he had access to that shed, and he also lived in the complex, and he actually knew Lauren a little bit, not well, but like in passing, they'd probably like, hi.
Yeah.
But why would there be human tissue on the saw?
Yeah, and if you're the maintenance man, you have keys to everyone's apartment.
Yeah, and the missing person news was traveling around the university. And people were actually really scared because they're like, this is serial killer.
Yeah, this is like fucking terrifying. Like, this is like horror movie type shit.
There was a guy, I think I've talked about this before, who went to ACC. And he was attacking women. He was the guy who hurt Jessica.
Like when we were there?
And he would find women alone and attack them. Do you know how many times I would sit at a, like, I would sit near my car far away by myself all the time.
Ugh.
One, because I didn't have friends. And two, because I didn't want to make friends. So.
It's community college. Like.
Yeah. I just remember.
Although community college was way more fun than regular college.
I actually think so, too.
I had so much fun at ACC.
People were,
it was actually
people were,
really
like,
fun.
Actually wanting to be friends with people. Yeah. And, I don't know, I had fun there. But, like, that's one thing I think about, like, because I'm like, oh, people are scared. And I'm like, yeah, that's really scary. And then that guy, like, came out. And I'm like, well, thank God nothing happened.
Dear God.
But Peter's really willing to help the cops, and he answers every question, and it seems that he's a law student as well, and he's the maintenance man, so he doesn't have to pay as much in rent. He mentioned that they weren't close friends, but it was more or less they knew each other, maybe would say hi, because they lived in the same complex, and Lauren's, and they asked him about, like, if he'd gone into her apartment. He's like, yeah, her air conditioning had gone out, and that was the last time he had been in there, and he was, like, really helpful.
Okay.
And yeah, and he had no idea about the hacksaw or why he would even have one to begin with. He's like, I don't even know what the purpose of this is.
Why would we have a hacksaw?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And he gave them a statement of like where he was and what he was doing, like around that time period.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned before, Lauren's dad had driven down, and when he arrived, he was like, "Let me identify," and the cops were pretty much like, "It's a torso." And then one guy was like, I talked to him dad to dad. You don't want to, because they've told people, like, remember them as they were. Like, have somebody that isn't, like, their parent or, like, family.
That's, my worst nightmare, having to identify a child. Like,
you want to, you can't get that out of your brain.
No.
But he was like, no.
And a torso, like. Is it necessary?
We can,
like,
do blood
what
tests.
Identifying features, like, yeah, just do a blood test and confirm in
and
that
that's
kind
all I can
way.
Think of is like my tattoos are the only thing you'd be able to, like, identify, but
why,
like,
show someone that?
Yeah, and that's what they, and I really appreciate that the cops were like,
let's not.
So they're on Alex again, and they ask Alex some questions, and it seems like he was still hung up on Lauren. And the weekend day that they had hung out, she had actually gone to his room, and they kind of, like, hooked up. But they didn't do much because he was like, well, you have a boyfriend, which I'm like, Lauren.
He's like, only hand stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Only mouth stuff. I'm just kidding. Only mouth stuff.
Okay, so. Do you know how long, like, her and Alex had been broken up?
I don't know.
Okay, so we don't know, like, the timeline. Like, I'm like, has it been, like, a while? Like, it seems like it's been a while.
It doesn't sound like it's been.
If she's got a whole new fucking boyfriend that she's, like, moving states to go
but
be with.
But she's cute and 27, so.
48. He's probably rich.
Well, yeah, he's a lawyer. So.
Oh, yeah. So he is a Peter Pan man from Charleston.
It's really funny because I'm actually going to make you look at the notes where I said Peter Pan. Anyways, I'll go into it.
Okay.
But, and it, you know, it's not great. She went to his room and, like, did stuff with him, especially because she's, like, got a
long distance boyfriend somewhere else.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like they're that serious, but she was moving with him. So I don't know. But, they were like, who knows if he did it. They didn't clear him, but they saw that he might have had motive. Like,
sure.
He was angry. Sometimes you get angry. But they told him that they were done questioning him, but they... Why am I hiccuping? Good God. But they told him not to leave town.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an open investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. So another person that they needed to question was John. And they were like, he was super gutted about it. They were like, he was like legitimately upset to hear this.
Okay.
But also like, it's a little strange that you're finding out from the... If I don't talk to Keith for... Even before we lived together... If I didn't talk to him for a day, that was weird.
Yeah, but like you said, he knew that she was studying.
I just think it's weird. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
One time Keith didn't talk to me for 3 days. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is that what it's going to be like?
I guess we're broken up now.
I said, sorry. And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, don't ever do that again. Yeah, that was weird. Again. Yeah, don't do that again. But... I'm like, maybe it's casual, but also she's moving in with him. I don't really know.
Like, that's why I'm like, how long have these people been dating?
But yeah, they were like, he seemed horrified that she had passed away. Okay. But we know the people who like start dating someone and they immediately are like, oh yeah, we're moving in together. And you're like,
why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
I mean, she seems like she has like a really good head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe it was cool.
So they asked for an alibi and he said he was in California and they asked for receipts. They also had asked him if they fought a lot. It seems like they did a little bit.
Okay.
It seems like she'd want to have a more serious talk maybe and he didn't. Because
they're like 21 years age difference.
He didn't want to commit, you know, Peter Pan syndrome.
He's like, I was like a rich man in Charleston.
Do I'm not find that tail. So. That's really funny. That's why I giggled when you said that. I was like, I literally called have it. My notes, Peter Pan syndrome.
Called it.
So it's about this time when they're about to say bye to him. And he's like, you know what? And they're like, what? And he's like, she had sent me an email saying that she feels like somebody's been going into her apartment. She feels like she might have a stalker.
Oh, why did you not open with that, sir? What?
Same question.
He's like, oh, I forgot to tell you as we're fucking leaving.
But maybe he was like worried about like, because he's a lawyer, so he probably was like, oh, by the way, hey, you leave them with the last thing you want them to know.
Huge piece of information.
I agree. Yeah. But she had sent him an email.
P.S.
P.S.
Someone might be stalking her and coming into her apartment.
Yeah. And she felt like stuff had been moved.
Ew.
Yeah. So fast forward 2 weeks and they still have no idea. And people were still understandably scared.
Yeah.
And they did a memorial for Lauren because they were like, we still need to like
give remember her. Remember her as yeah, not just like her. A murder victim.
Yes.
As like a real person who lived and had a life ahead of her.
It was so cute. Yeah. And the cops were starting to really lean into the stalker theory because they did see the email.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but like, where do you start with that? Where right. do you know that's
and
where
what
it's
other
like,
documentation has she you know like other than what she said to him
my next sentence is the cops are really leaning into this. She had people try to open her door and the cops looked to see if she had reported it,
okay,
to see if there was any credence to it, and they didn't really find anything concrete, but sometimes they're like, you're fine, and they don't write stuff down, so it doesn't yeah. necessarily mean, but they did. I do like that they were like, let's see. So Peter, the maintenance guy, thought they were like, this is our guy, because he had the hacksaw and he had access to her apartment. However, when they looked into his alibi, he had been with another attorney and they were able to like trace that his whereabouts
out.
And they released him. Yeah. Again, another likely suspect was Alex and they had receipts that he was with somebody all night and he had been forthcoming about him hanging out with her the previous weekend. They said they didn't get a bad vibe from him, but they had to keep him as a suspect and they released him. But they kind of were like, if we have additional questions, we're still going to talk to him because it wasn't entirely clear.
Sure.
But they were like, for the most part, we're not getting the vibes that he did it. So John had also told the cops that he was at a golf thing in California and he was going to send them proof of his whereabouts and he hadn't sent it.
John.
Juan.
What are you doing?
Let's be so serious right now. So he did look into his email. He's like, oh, the attachment's too big. Hold on. And then he was able to resize it. And then he did send it to them. And they were, he even sent like him at the bar. Sure. So it was like really.
But it's detailed. Also like, what would his motive be?
Yeah.
Unless maybe he like found out that her and Alex did mouth stuff, but like.
Hand stuff.
Just some light padding. Maybe yeah. Not so light. I don't know. I don't really suspect him.
Yeah. So they. But like, then they're like, but who? Not me. Who could it be? Then who? Well, nobody right now. They didn't have anything at this point. He was able to be cleared because they were like, oh yeah, he wouldn't have been able to do this. He has receipts and like videotapes and stuff like that, that he was like not there. They don't have anything at this point. They're back to square A. So, well, maybe. Maybe they're back. There's somebody they didn't really clearly look at.
Like friend?
They decided to go question her neighbor, Stephen, with a PH.
Stephen.
Do with that information what you will. So he had lived next door to her for 3 years. And earlier in the investigation, there was an interview on the news where he was asked about her. And he's like, she's a really nice lady. I don't know her that well. Okay, you don't know this interview?
No.
Okay, they ask him an interview question. He's just being interviewed. They're outside her apartment complex. And he's just like, he keeps reiterating, we haven't seen her since Saturday. We're all worried about her. She's a nice lady, like over and over. And I'm like, good God. And they ask him a lot of questions. They're like, so when's the last time you saw her? He's
trying to like rehearse it and make it sound normal.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we haven't seen her since Saturday. No one's seen her. So nobody's seen her. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, he says that so many fucking times. She's a nice lady. She's nice as could be. And then at one point during this interview, they're like, well, what about the body? And he stops for a few seconds. Have you seen this?
I feel like I've seen this. Yeah.
He stops for a few seconds and they're like, sir. And he just goes, body. And they're like, yeah. And he stops and he's like,
oh, God.
And they're like, sir.
Are you good?
Sir, are you okay?
He's like, shit, they found it.
And he's like, I need to go sit down.
Oh my God.
It is such an awkward interview. We'll try to attach a video of it. Probably from TikTok or something.
We could find also interview. Like, to be fair, if you like found out about an acquaintance or something that there was a body.
Well, hold on. Cause this is part that wasn't in there. They had to give him a sternum rub to get him to be alive again. Literally. He was just like sitting there like catatonic.
Oh.
Do you know what a sternum rub is?
Yeah.
It is painful.
That's for, like, people that are, like, unconscious.
Mm-hmm. And they had to do one of those to get him to, like...
To respond?
Yep.
Yikes.
So I'm like, no, okay, I so get... not a good Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but I'm like, hold on, really quickly.
Mm.
So that was really weird and suspicious, and they're like... I think a normal, like, the body, but, like, the way he reacted after that was weird. Because I think the body, what do you mean? It's just...
Sure.
Yeah. So, back to the investigation. They asked to look through his apartment just to cover all their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And see what they could see. And for some reason, he ends up telling them he's a virgin. And he's saving himself for marriage. And I'm like, that's not the reason no one's sleeping with that? You.
He's like, P.S. guys, I just want you all to know I am a virgin.
They're I'm like, you're an incel. We could tell. You're not a virgin like, by choice.
You really didn't need to tell us that.
Yeah.
We could tell.
You don't want to be you're a virgin.
You're giving virgin vibes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's like, and in my notes, I'm like, I don't know how they got on the subject of that, but it happened.
Why would you say that? That's so awkward.
Okay, so it's already weird, but I'm like, this is where shit gets weird. I'm like, we're already there.
Oh, no.
Okay. They actually find condoms in one of his drawers. And they're like.
For marriage?
Sir?
Some marriage condoms.
they break because you're not going to be having sex. Anyways, but yeah, they find condoms in his drawer and they're like, huh. Hey.
Hey, virgin.
If you're a virgin.
Questions.
If you are saving yourself for marriage, why do you have condoms? And this total fucking idiot tells them that he has condoms because he took them from several neighbors when he broke into their apartments.
What? What are you telling us? What?
Everything. He's telling just you everything.
A lot of information all at once. Okay.
And they asked him how
he... So you're breaking into people's apartments.
Yes.
To steal condoms.
They asked him how he did this, and he said that he had a master key. And then he said, I've said too much. I want a lawyer. And they're like...
a little late for that.
Yeah, they're like, you can have your lawyer, but yeah, you but gave us...
a lot of information. How does he have a master key? This
fucking guy. I don't know. I tried to find it, but I didn't. And that's also, really
creepy.
They find a key to Lauren's place on his nightstand.
Sir.
They think, when I told you about the key, and I was like, that's where people look. They think he took a copy of that key.
Mm.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So, they're just like, how did you come up with a master key? I don't know if they figured it out. I don't get anything because that's obviously my sneaky, first question.
Like,
yeah. So they find some underwear. Take it as evidence. Guess whose DNA was on it?
Oh, Lauren's. Jesus. Okay.
Do you remember me talking about a hacksaw?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They found one of those cardboard things. You know, like how they put cardboard things and that's how they hang it up, like on the shelf at, like, I don't know, Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they find the cardboard thing for the exact hacksaw that was in the maintenance closet.
This guy.
Mm-hmm. So, to me, that looks like he was trying to frame somebody else.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So, yeah, and that's why I mentioned, like, Peter's like, I don't even know what this would be used for, but sure, okay.
A random hacksaw showed
up. Yeah, sometimes you just randomly have a hacksaw.
Oh, my God.
So, if that's not enough, Stephen's friends had told officers that he'd always talked about committing the perfect murder, and the theme...
What?
That was in all the theories, was hacking a body into small pieces.
I'm sorry. That's weird conversation.
Do we not have 18 smoking guns here?
Like, we're into true crime, but never once have I said to you, like, it's like my dream to commit a perfect murder.
Wait, it's not?
With a hacksaw. Like, who talks about that?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing I'll tell people. Being in true crime, you're not going to get away with murder.
No.
That's what I've realized. Not that I have anyone I want to murder. I've told Keith, I was like, if my ex is still alive, trust me, you're safe. But, like, that's what you get from true crime is, like, if you actually really like true crime, you can figure out it is so hard to get away with murder.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Well, and I think it's also like...
It's not worth it. And like
for me, like looking out for the warning signs of someone who is going to do it.
Yes.
Like it's not me like planning like how I would do it. It's like me being aware of like people acting fucking weird.
And I've learned a lot from doing this.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. And like
what signs a creep. And that was probably why he was like a lawyer too.
Probably. Yeah. It's creepy.
That's fucking weird.
But yeah, that's not something I've ever talked about with friends.
And also, he did like a really bad job.
Yeah, you just gave it to them on a silver platter. You literally
told them.
Yeah. That, like, I took them from other people. I was like...
Like, all this planning and, like, brainstorming and you...
You fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Stephen was being charged for burglary, but on August 2nd, 2011, he was also being charged for murder.
Okay, I was like, what?
Because the evidence they found was too convincing. It wasn't all circumstantial.
Yeah.
And
it's not looking good for him.
Yeah, the family was so grateful he was found. And
that's so creepy.
They found hundreds of pictures of her on his computer.
Ew.
Pictures off her social media, pictures he took.
Ew.
They have a video of him looking, taking a camera and looking in her windows.
Oh my God. That is so deranged.
Yeah.
And did they know, like, what his deal was? Like, why was he so obsessed with her?
I'm sure this will shock you. He was the stalker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wasn't being just crazy, but
yeah, she knew something was up. Oh my God, that's so creepy.
So the trial took place April 21st, 2014, and he pled guilty. And he had to give a written confession, and he was obsessed with Lauren. That's what they found out. And he, what they think happened is he found she was moving out. And that's when he panicked.
And he had like a weird, like jealous, like, oh my God, she has a boyfriend.
Yeah. So the night he killed her, he had snuck into her house, her apartment at 4:30 in the morning using the master key to the apartment complex. He walked into her room, woke her up, and she was just like, oh my God, freaking out.
Yeah.
And she pulled off his mask and started screaming, Steven, what are you doing? And he choked her to death.
Oh my God.
He took her to the bathroom and dismembered her. The other parts, so the torso was in their trash can.
Yeah.
The head, hands, feet, all that stuff. I was going to ask
if they found it.
Was across the street, and they had taken that trash.
Oh, Jesus.
So the fact that people were on top of it, the fact that the detectives actually took this fucking murder seriously is why they were able to find it, because they found that torso.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So they were like, he would do this again. He'd just find a new person.
Yeah, like, clearly, Joel, like, he's not there.
He was sentenced to life in prison, and her family makes sure to keep her memory alive. They say things are different. They miss her every single day.
Yeah, I bet.
She was just, like, a breath of fresh air. And she was, like, vibrant and the first person to go to college, and it was just awful.
Wow.
But that's the story of Lauren. What a creep. Yeah, and that's the story of Lauren Giddings. That guy is so creepy. But it's like, they didn't suspect him at all. And he gave it to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ew.
We'll try to post the video of him. It is so uncomfortable. It's like, you watch it and you're like, I have hives because you're so uncomfortable. Ugh. But we'll try to post that video on social media. I can send it to you probably.
Okay.
And that's going to be on our Instagram at Mysterious Mavens, just on Instagram.
And if you want to, you know, send us an email, if you want to pop in like Jer Bear did and just say, hi, Danae.
Danae.
That's fine, too.
No one's ever said hi to me.
Guys, what the hell?
Now I'm fucking pissed.
Now she's pissed.
I was pissed at you earlier. Now I'm pissed at you guys.
So email us whatever you want to email us. At mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We're also on TikTok and Facebook, and I swear to God, I'm going to start trying to take video clips of us being hilarious and just put on our TikTok so you guys are like, oh, damn. Hell yeah, you guys are so funny. So.
Hit us up in any way you know how.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Self-care for yourself.
Again, bye.
Bye.
And then